Amen. Amen. It's great to see so many new faces here. If you don't know the person next to you, look at them now. Learn every freckle that's on their face. Say, I could draw a picture of you off by the memory that I've got now. Take a mental snapshot. Okay, great. Okay. So a lot of you will know me. My name is Decker. It's a really weird name. My full name is Melchizedek, and I love it. But Decker's just easy for everyone to say. And I've been coming to Crops and the Point for over a decade now, and I just love it when we can come together as, you know, technically church and things like that. But, you know, today I've got this really interesting topic that I wanted to talk about, because I think this is an everyday scenario for people like, I'm going to say us, because I always think like a teenager, and for many of you will know that actually I probably think like a two-year-old most of the time anyway. Even in my job, I often think like a two-year-old as well. But today we're going to be looking at the whole idea of what it is to be a diamond that shines. A diamond that shines. Or not to be the Joker of Batman who says, I'll put a smile on that face. Was that a good impression? Oh, terrible, isn't it? Okay, my main topic then, really, is all about temptations and trials and how do we get through it, you know, with our wings and our arms together and our legs tied together. You know, scared, witless. I love it when we come to these kind of topics and really we have to go, God, I need faith to actually think about how I'm going to live my life today and tomorrow. Because if I don't do what you want me to do or live the way that you want me to do, actually I'm going to sink like the cow that could have drowned. That's not a joke. In a sense, that's kind of true. We need help every now from God to kind of help us pull us out of the big waters that we're in. And there's a whole passage I really want to look at, and it's in James. If you've got a Bible, we're going to be looking at the first four verses. If you've got it on your phone, just use your phone, don't worry. Just don't text me or text anyone else in the room. It'd be very awkward if you text me because my phone's on. Okay, so if you are on James chapter 1, we're looking at the very first four verses. This is where we're going to go through. I'm just going to read it. I've got the ESV version. It says, James, who's the author of this book, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes in this dispersion. It's a very confusing way, but really it's an introduction saying who I am. James, I am a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to everybody around. So that's people who are Israel, Judah, to the lands of Samaria, and to out of the parts of the world. This is everywhere, to everyone. He says this, greetings. Nice start, isn't it? Very pleasant little letter here to the people. But this is where it really gets going. James, you need to understand, is a four-chapter book. It's really short, and he says, hi, I'm James, da-da-da-da, greetings. You know, a nice little introduction. Normally you say things like, how you doing? I've just been sunbathing for 2 hours. Like, you would say things like, oh, it's a lovely day out here and wherever he is. You would say pleasantries like, oh, the other day when we had hamburgers, we had ketchup on it. It was amazing. You'd say things like that, but he just goes straight into this next verse, which is, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is a humongous text, but it's only four chapters long. And we're looking at the first four verses, and already we've got this, hello, I'm James, and we've come straight into this really important point, count it all as joy. Now, I love it, because I've got one dimple one side, and no dimple the other. Is it that side or that side? That side, isn't it? I don't know, because I look in the mirror sometimes, so I get confused. So I've got a dimple one side. Who here has dimples? Now, I've been told that you're born with dimples, but I like to think that I earned this dimple. I like to think I earned it, because I always like to laugh and have a joke with little things. But here, we're getting this point of count it all as joy. And I start to think, okay, if I was a 16-year-old, some of the stuff that I'm going through in life, okay, it doesn't matter really what age you are, if you're 12 or if you're 18, really, you've got some of these kind of thoughts in your head is, what time shall I get up so I can catch the right bus with the maximum amount of pillow time to washing my hair time? Does that make sense? That's pretty much the everyday thought I had when I grew up, and it really was, I'm going to go wait till like 2 minutes before my bus comes and I'm going to sprint out. It never happened. I used to always miss that bus and have to walk and whatnot. that's the kind of general kind of life I lived. But the kind of next question would be like, what shall I make for pack up? Because my mum stops making me my sandwiches since I told her I didn't want chocolate spread in my sandwiches. So now I have to make my own sandwiches. Guess what I did? I didn't take sandwiches. I just took a packet of crisps and a chocolate and that's it. Just kind of waited until I got home. That's kind of what I had. But those are kind of normal questions that you ask every day. Is that right? Yeah? If your mum still makes you sandwiches, it's not a bad thing. Still not a bad thing. Some of you are like, I want to nod, but I don't want anyone to know. But if she makes them, it's fine. Absolutely fine. And there's some of the things I still think about now. What shall I eat today? What time shall I get up so I can have a good day? Those kinds of things. But then what about other questions of like, what shall I spend my money on so that with the little I've got, if you only have a bit of pocket money or if your parents only give you so much money every now and again, what shall I buy? Shall I buy the latest Halo game? Or shall I buy some hair products and makeup? I don't buy makeup. But you got to think those kinds of questions. Everyone's got this new gadget. Do I get the latest gadget or do I just get the everyday stuff that I need? Shall I get pack up today or shall I go use my pocket money and my paper round money to buy dinners? And they were always the questions you kind of ask yourself every day. But what about like, I've got exams coming up. The worries and the sweats you go through, or you can just cruise through. Some people do. My sisters did that. But I sweated through my exams. What about trying to be an everyday Christian, Jesus-loving person, but going to the school with all your mates who don't even care about what you think and don't ask you, don't really want to know what you believe in? So living a life that is following Jesus, but yet controversially, you're also trying to fit in with everybody. What about those kind of pressures, those kinds of worries, those kinds of trials? I think each one of those that I've just listed, waking up, choosing to brush your teeth, is a trial that we go through in life. And I love that because actually we see here, count all trials as joy. But then later on in James, when you carry on reading, it talks about more stuff than just trials. We actually start to hear about stuff called temptations. And we start to see trials and temptations. And here it says, count all joy. Count all the moments where you have to do things to be the best and whatnot and do good things. Count them as joy, but also count the things that are horrible, those things that really test you and really are temptations, those extra things. Count them as joy as well. That's what I think is really confusing. Because really, I start to ask myself, why do I need to really be joyful in all these scenarios? This is where I actually think where Batman meets the Bible. Because I start to think, do I have to have the Joker face and draw a smile on my face? Oh, that rhymed, didn't it? That's quite cool. Do I have to draw a smile on my face when I'm in joy just because the Bible says it? Well, we have to be joyful. You know, my car's just broken down. I have to be joyful. Oh, I've got exams. I have to be joyful. Look at the person next to you, give them an evil smile. That's the kind of smile I would have during most of my everydays. Oh, I've got to wake up early. To get to work on time, I have to leave about 5:45 in the morning. That means I have to get up around 5:15 just so I can get my reading and have a shower so I can get ready and get my big shoes on so I can get to work in Cambridge for 7 o'clock in the morning. It's a nightmare, but that's just what I have to do most mornings. So I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. Count it as joy. Count it as joy. Going to bed at 8 o'clock. You know, when the sun's still up, I have to go to bed and wake up when it's still dark. It's getting lighter though. I get to see the sunset. I count that as joy. But getting up in the morning is not joy when my dog tries to lick my face. Oh, that's horrible. Count it as joy. It's a command. And that's what I think is really interesting. And it is seriously something that we have to try and battle through. Because actually, let's look at the idea of trials. Let's put the whole temptation aside. Let's look at trials for a bit. If we were to think of trials, we've got to realize one major thing. And this is it. Trials is an outward process. So if I was standing here right now, trials are the things that are around me, okay? Around me, if that makes sense. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were to happen to you. Temptation, however, is an inner enticement." 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The longing in our heart, the reaching and the desire. I like to think of temptation as the inner part of you that just wants to reach for that extra thing that you don't really need. That's what I like to think of temptation. So why do we really have to count it all as joy? Because it produces something. In Scripture, it says it produces steadfastness. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And I like to think of this, but going through trials and temptations, they're not the joy. Because I like to think of it like me and Jay, probably you know Jay quite well, he's the one in white at the back who led the game at the beginning. We go to the gym quite often, and we always love to push each other. And so many times have we actually thrown up, because it's that, like, we go proper hard and all that. And we're like, come on, man, you can do it, you can do it. And I'm like, yeah, no, count it as joy. But the thing is, it's not joy when you're in it, but when you see the results. Look over there, guys. Count it as joy. I love it that 3.5 years ago, I love to go running, and 3.5 years ago, I did my very first 3-mile run. Now, any of you here are probably thinking, 3 miles? Oh, I'd never go 3 miles. Who here can run 3 miles? I think there's quite a few of you, because I've seen some of you run before. Great, some of you can do it. Grand. Now, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, was the first time I ever did 3 miles. Do you want me to tell you how quick I did it in? What? I would if I was crawling. How long? 21 minutes? No. It's the first time I ever did it. It took me 42 minutes. Do you know how long it takes to walk it? 50 minutes. That's how bad it was for me to do my first 3 miles. And so I just thought, you know, I'm going to keep going. So I did 3 miles and I did it again. And then a month later, I did a half marathon. It took me forever. It took me over 2 hours. It took me over 2.5 hours. It took me 2 hours, 50 minutes to do a half marathon. It took me forever. I was dying in the middle of it, basically. But I walked the last 3 miles of that. I was well happy. The thing is, since then, though, I've been able to run 3, 5, 6 without stopping now. And now I actually feel that I can do a half marathon comfortably. I can't get a great time yet. I still can't beat my sisters. They beat me by 2 minutes. 2 minutes. That's longer than the space between us when we were born. That's how tight it is between my sisters at the minute. And so the fact of the matter is, though, I've gone from 3 miles 3.5 years ago to 2 years ago, I did 27 miles without stopping. That is, and this is how I did it, I caught a train to Huntingdon. Where's Nick? Yeah. I took a train to where you live. Somewhere near there. And I jogged back. I wore Lycra and everything. It was brilliant. Everyone on the train thought I was nuts. I sat in the train with just my phone and my keys to get in my home, and that was it. And I had to jog, and I lived in Werrington, so I had to jog all the way through Peterborough. I was tempted by McDonald's a few times, all the way back to the top, and it ended up being 27 miles. I was like, flip me. I just went from half a marathon to that. And the thing is, I love that actually. When I go running now, when I do my first mile, I'm still going, I don't think I'm going to make it to 2. But actually, I know that I've done it before, so I can do it again. The thing is, what we've got to look at is that we have a God who's greater, who's in us. That actually, if we can't do it, he's done it before, and he can. And that's what I think, actually, when it comes to joy, I know that actually I can do it, because he's done it before. Something in me has done it before. Does that make sense? Poke the person next to you and say, he's done it before. That's our God. Count it all as joy because he has done it. He has finished it. I love that about this. But then I want to look at the whole idea of what about aborting trials? What about when we go through some of those tough moments but are just everyday things like, do I really need to brush my teeth? Do I need to wake up early? Do I really need to read my Bible every day? Do I need to encourage my friends? Do I need to come to church with a song, scripture, or word? Do I need to do any of that? Well, actually, we can say no to a lot of these things. And, you know, brushing your teeth every day, you can say no to that, but eventually you'll stink, I'll be honest. Some of you are checking your teeth now, aren't you? I can see your mouths just going, If you haven't brushed your teeth, there's mint somewhere in the back. Okay. I love it how here we got this whole idea that God says, actually, you don't have to do all these kinds of things. But then we can often, by accident or by our own self-centeredness, run away from these trials. And I've got three main examples. When something big happens to us in life, let's just say we're going through like a tough decision with our mates, we can panic. We can look for the quickest exit, like a headless chicken in a room, going, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? We have a scatterbrain approach going, "What? Why me? What happened?" And we just pull that ejector cord to get out of this situation. Well, actually, we need to remember that we walk through a trial with God. And we need to recognize that he has his sovereign hand upon us. So we don't need to panic and worry, because worry gets us nowhere, as we see Jesus saying so many times. Sometimes we just react and we get angry and we start thinking, why is this always happening to me? And we blame it on so many things. When actually we need to remember that trials are not to harm us. They are there to help us and to grow us. Another one is we can shortcut a season of trial if we never ask this one question. Lord, what is it you want to do with me? We need to remember that God's role is to help us, not to harm us. He's there for us, not against you. And through every trial, we need not to panic. We need not to be angry. We need not to be scatterbrained, running around like headless chickens. But we should just say, God, what do you want to do with me now? Putting God in the center of it. Then I really want to look at this big mama topic, which I'm going to, in a sense, stream through very quickly. And it's temptation. The whole idea of temptation, how it entices. That the scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 14, that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. I'm going to emphasize that again, that sentence. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. The one thing I want to tell you, that this is what's so great about this. Every time we defeat a temptation, we become more like Jesus. Temptation always starts in the mind. It's not in the circumstances. That's what we said is an outward thing. That's trials. What comes from inside of us sometimes is the temptation. Jesus says, for from within, out of a person's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness, lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within, not because of anything. It's just because we're flesh, we're human beings. But it's a conscious decision sometimes, or it's a thought that we have, or a desire that we have. James tells us that there is a whole army of evil desires within us. And that makes me go, oh poo, am I really that bad? But the thing is, we all have moments when we have temptations. And we have to remember that actually, Jesus Christ has done it and he has finished it. The thing that I said earlier, that he's done it, it stands true for this point as well. And I want to say this, that we should refuse to be intimidated by any temptation around us. That you will never outgrow temptation. It will always be a constant fact in your life. I'm 26 now and it's still part of my life. It's still part of Matt's life, and he's in his 30s. It'll be in your life when you're in 60s. Are you in your 30s? Oh, good. Yay. He's 52. Martin Luther King said this. Martin Luther, not the king. You cannot keep birds from flying over your heads. Isn't that nice? But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I don't have big hair, but sometimes my hair does look messy. But the point of that is you can't keep the devil from suggesting evil thoughts, but you can choose not to dwell on them. The interesting thing is when it comes to all the temptations and trials, that we come to God in prayer. Especially when it comes to temptations, Satan fears your prayers and will try anything to stop us from praying. Treat them as an attempt of distraction and then refocus on God as soon as you can. The one thing we can also do is recognize our pattern of temptation. If we know that we're clearly not putting our alarm on and we're going to sleep through the day, what do? You put an alarm on, don't you, to help you wake up early. recognize your weaknesses and your weak spots. So I drive from Cambridge to Peterborough. On my way from Cambridge to Peterborough, I pass 3 McDonald's, a KFC and a Subway. And a Burger King. Oh, I love Burger King. Guess what? It's really hard not to stop at one of them. It really is. But I know my weak spot. If I'm driving, it's so easy to stop. My weak spot and my way to stop that is just not take any change or any cards with me when I go to work. Leave them at home. And that's pretty much what I do nowadays because I always want to stop, especially at the noodle bar. Oh, the noodle bar. When you have a weak spot, work out the pattern that you have. If it's watching stuff online late at night, switch off your computer earlier. Things like that. When you're watching too much TV, just don't watch TV. Do something else. Go out, learn a new hobby. When it comes to chatting and texting so much, only put so much credit on your phone so you don't use it all. Or just switch it off at certain times. There's so many ways that we can try our best to fight these temptations and these trials. But I'm so glad that God, He's there for us all the time, like a 24/7 hotline. Jesus says, call on me in times of trouble because I will rescue you and you will honor me. That's what I think is very clever about this. Call on me in times of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. When we stand strong in a temptation or a trial, we don't just go, yeah, I did it. But we actually start going, God, we start honoring God. God, I give you the glory. The one thing I like to think of it is, I'm weak, but He is strong. Just say it right now after me on 3, 2, 1. I am weak, you are strong. 3, 2, 1. I am weak, you are strong. 3, 2, 1. I am weak, you are strong. 3, 2, 1. I am weak, you are strong. That is what I think is one of the most important things we need to learn. I am weak, you are strong. The only way I'm going to fight through this temptation and trial is to say, I am weak, you are strong, because it honors God as well. It shows us that we're just normal people, human beings. And actually, we need times of SOS prayers, those prayers that we just say, God, help me in this situation. I'm going back a little verse now in James chapter 1, verse 12, which says very wonderfully, blessed is the person who remains steadfast under trials. For when he has stood that test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the person who remains steadfast, for he has stood that test and will receive a crown of life. I know that life is going to be hard and life's going to have its ups and downs, trials and temptations, no matter what. Getting up early, some of the easy ones, but then there's going to be some tough ones too. And I see pretty much a lot of stuff nowadays. I love the fact that though we are weak, he is strong. I am weak, but he is bigger than anything. I want us to really put this into action and apply it to our lives. And I want you just to take a thought and just say, God, help me to understand what trials are in my life. God, help me to understand what temptations are in my life. If you're still struggling to think of the difference, ask a friend or ask, we're going to be breaking into groups, you can ask a leader, what is a trial in my life? What is a temptation in my life? Because I used to always get it wrong, knowing what is God actually using me for, testing me with, and what is, you know, the enemy trying to snare me with. Sin brings forth death, and I want to run away from it as much as possible. How do I get away from it? I want you to just have a moment on yourself now. Just have in silence, just to think, God, what is a trial and what is a temptation in my life? And then I'm going to give us some instructions as we go through this. So if you can do that now. You can keep your eyes closed as I carry on speaking for a minute. Some things can cause us to stumble immediately, while for others, they look like they're doing it really well. Some things don't affect us, but they affect a lot of other people. Some of our friends have gone through stuff that we can't imagine how we would go through it. We don't know how to help them with the words that we've got. God, I want to thank you that you help us in all our scenarios. You help us in everyday battles that we face. You help us get along with our sisters and our brothers and our parents. I thank you that you help us get along with our friends and those people we just don't want to ever be near. But God, I thank you that in all these moments in our lives, trials produce steadfastness, a heart that longs after you. Help us, God, in our temptations to trust and follow you.